Well, after Pentecost in the church year comes Holy Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday where we get to say the one creed that we probably don't say much throughout the year, the Athanasian Creed, that really pinpoints and outlines and states in no unambiguous terms what we believe about the Holy Trinity. So I thought, you know, I've kind of done this before, but it's been many years. Let's talk about the Trinity. It's a very, very difficult subject to comprehend. Sometimes I think kids grasp it a lot better than we do as adults because, I mean, we've become very rational as we've grown older. People have tried to come up with different little sayings of how to understand it. Oh, the Trinity is like H2O. It's like water and steam and ice. They're all kind of the same but different. By the way, that's a bad analogy. Or it's like a three-leaf clover. You have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's another bad analogy, by the way. I have a great video that I'm going to put on Lighthouse's Facebook page today where the wonderful Saint Patrick tries to give a brilliant explanation of the Trinity to a bunch of country bumpkins. And if you go to the Facebook page, I think you'll enjoy it. It's very difficult. There was a theologian, I couldn't find his name, I found it on a pastor's page. The pastor's name was Kevin DeYoung. But this theologian that was quoted by Kevin DeYoung came up with a saying to help explain the Trinity to people. And I kind of liked it. I wrote it down. This is his explanation. The Trinity is a matter of five notions or properties, four relations, three persons, two processions, one substance, and no understanding. It kind of sums it up, doesn't it? I thought that was good. So let's just walk through it. And maybe by the end you'll say, Pastor, now I really don't understand. But that's okay. That's okay. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds. Sometimes it's better when you're defining something to start out with what it is absolutely not. There have been many heresies over the years, especially as the church just got underway, where people came to certain beliefs and the church and the early church fathers said, that is definitely not what we believe. And they get all kinds of great names. I love it. Monarchianism, partialism, tritheism, modalism. There's lots of them. Let me just give you a couple, and I'll explain what we do not believe. This is not the Christian faith. My favorite, Arianism. Arianism can be summed up by the bad analogy of, well, the Holy Trinity is like the sun. It's a star, yet it has light that comes out of it, and there's heat, kind of like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, that is not what we believe, because the sun is this one thing, and now you have these different sort of little other properties that are coming out of it. And Arius taught that. And he taught it in saying, well, Christ wasn't really divine. He was just emitted or emoted out of God. And what's great about this is if you read, you've heard me preach before about Slappy Christmas. If you haven't heard of Slappy Christmas, St. Nicholas is not the lovable, cute little man that everyone paints on Christmas Day. St. Nicholas, during the great heresy of Arianism, actually got up and slapped Arius to try to knock some sense into him. And he said, that is not what we believe. So Arius was booted out of the church, gone is Arianism. It still exists, though, in several different manifestations, even today. Jehovah's Witnesses would be an example of the belief of Arianism, where Christ is not divine. Tritheism, three gods, three distinct beings, separate from one another. That is not what we believe. This is not the Christian faith. This is going to be brilliantly summed up with the Athanasian Creed when we get into it. But tritheism would be that, well, God is the Father's a God, and the Holy Spirit's a God, and Jesus is a God. They're three gods. They exist. They talk with one another. That's not what we believe. That is a heresy that has been booted out of the church. It's made its way into, among many, many other different divisions, into Mormonism, where everyone's kind of a god. That's not what we believe. Modalism. Here's a great one. If you watch the little cartoon I put on Facebook later on, you'll laugh at this. You'll hear about modalism. Modalism is where you have different names for the same God, the same being, acting in different ways, like father, husband, son. A man could be a father, yet he could also be a husband to someone and a son to someone else. And that is not what we believe either. That's not the Trinity. That's where your H2O is water, vapor, and ice. That's modalism. That's taking away the distinctness, or the that's keeping the distinctness of the persons, but we believe there's only one God. So you got all these things that it's not. So what is it? I found a nice brief little statement on, if you want to understand the Trinity, you simply have to understand and believe these seven things. It's pretty easy. There's one God. We get that, right? One God. The Father's God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit's God. We got four things we got to believe. Okay, I got that. Father's God, the Holy Son's God, the Holy Spirit's God. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. None of those three are the same. They are three distinct persons. And yet, in essence, they are one God. There you go. If you get it, you could be a theologian and write books now. So where do we get this idea? Is it found in the Bible? Well, yes and no. The word Trinity is something that we've labeled it. Trinity, unity and diversity. But certainly the Trinity itself, since we know the Bible does not lie, does not contradict itself, we can go to the Bible and we can look up different things. For instance, how do we know God is three persons? This is great. We came upon this in Bible study. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." God created. The earth was formless and deep. Darkness was over the surface, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we have a couple different, little variations there, a little God the Spirit, God creating. How about when man was created? Let us make man in our image. Who is God talking to? He is not talking to the angels, because I'm not made in the image of an angel. I am made in the image of Jesus Christ. So there is a plurality there. Let us make man in our image. Or let's just jump to the New Testament, because you know, some people say the Old Testament, they didn't know what they were talking about. Matthew 28, said by Jesus himself, "Therefore go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Three. They are very, very distinct. Okay, well, if there are three distinct persons, are they all really God? Well, yes, we can find that out in the Gospels as well. In John chapter 6 writes, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." There's no way we can have a doubt that God the Father, throughout the entire Scripture, is God. The Father is God. My favorite from, this is my favorite whenever the Jehovah's Witnesses come. We always, let's just turn to the first chapter of John and read what it has to say. Because they would say that Jesus is not God. We as Trinitarians say Jesus, the Son, is. And here's the greatest the greatest scriptural evidence for that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, their Bible doesn't say that, if they happen to take you there. It's just a minor missing piece. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him, we're talking about the Word here, all things were made. Without Him, nothing has ever been made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. We're talking about John the Baptist here. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him, the light, all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, we're back to talking about the Word, and you can see that the Word is Jesus, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is wonderful. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, born of Mary, the Virgin. I like whenever the Scriptures talk about the Word and the Spirit, and you can see them both being used together in conjunction with God the Father. Irenaeus wrote, "The Father used the Word and the Spirit like two hands in all of His creation." They were all a part of it, all three. And then finally, we move on to Acts. Peter's talking about Ananias, who kept a little bit of the money behind. Good things didn't happen to him. But Luke writes, Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart so that you lied to the Holy Spirit?" He says he lied to the Holy Spirit. "And you've kept some of the money that you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think to do such a thing? For you've not lied to men, but to God." He's lied to the Holy Spirit, who Peter just said is God. So there you go. You have three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we've just went through, there's so many others, but we don't have the time. We just went through several scriptures and said all three of those are God. But since the scriptures can't lie, we get hung up on Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." There is one God. Or in the New Testament, Paul writes, "Now to the King eternal, invisible, immortal, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." There is one God. It's your seven statements. There's one God. The Father's God. The Son's God. The Holy Spirit's God. The Father's not the Son. The Son's not the Father. The Son's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not the Son. And the Holy Spirit's not the Father. And the Father's not the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Trinity. It's a very, very unique understanding and look at what we believe. It's different from every other movement in the entire world. Think about it. We got two big movements hitting us from all sides right now. Whether you can understand it and you know it or not, when you watch the nightly news, you have Islam hitting you. It's smack dab in the news every single night. What does Islam teach and preach to everyone? There's only one way to live, my way or the highway. Speak my language, believe my beliefs, do my things, wear my clothes, act my way, and if you don't do any of those things, you're dead. That's called unity. You do it this way or you're out. And then coming completely the opposite direction is postmodernity, which is if it's not hurting anyone, it's okay. I mean, everything's okay. Whatever you want to believe is fine because that's what you want to do. That's called diversity to the point of chaos. Do you see why everyone's kind of going loopy these days? You're getting hit by two giant philosophical structures. One says there's only one possible way, and if you don't do it, you're dead. And the other one says, it's okay. Anything you want to do is fine. Reminds me, remember growing up, sidetrack, I love Captain Kangaroo. How's he going to work Captain Kangaroo into a story of the Trinity? One man that just, I mean, just floored me, and this is why it's so sad is for young kids, we have to really watch, be careful what they watch. Captain Kangaroo used to always have Doug Henning on. You remember Doug Henning? Does anyone here remember Doug Henning? Come on. He wore the rainbow jumpsuit. He had the long hair and the mustache. And he went, it's okay, because everything's available in the world of magic and illusion. I can make balls appear out of the air. I liked him because he was a magician. It was wonderful. But this postmodern world has come down to where everyone has turned into a Doug Henning. It's okay. Whatever you want to believe is fine. It's okay. If it's your truth and you believe it, that's fine. I worked with a marketing woman whose mantra, and she would sign up for this and acknowledge it, whose mantra was, perception is reality. Perception is reality. No, it's not. You can see something and say, well, that's really not going to hurt me. That stove's not hot at all. You put your hand on that stove, it's going to burn you. I don't care what you perceive. Reality is reality. Truth is truth. And there's no way around it. We're getting hit from all sides. It's a battle out there. But Christianity is right at the crux, and both of them are coming and attacking. But we have something that's so unique. We have unity and diversity. Unity in that we have one God. Diversity in that Father said, this is the law. This is the only way, now that you've sinned, to get back into a relationship with me. And so he sent his Son, God, becoming flesh, who lived the perfect life, which we could never do. And he died for us on a cross, as only God could do, but he was man, fully man, experienced our temptations, knew our weaknesses, can sympathize with us in every way. And all it takes is to acknowledge and believe in our hearts that he is who he said he is. And you know what? We can't. No matter how hard you try, it's impossible to do it. And so they sent the Holy Spirit that said, go break that heart. Go chisel away that stone and let them know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it is through the three, the Trinity, that we are brought back into a right relationship with God the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. I wrote down here, when it comes down to relationships, the Trinity really helps us understand how things properly relate to one another. With a biblical understanding of the Trinity, we can say that God did not create in order to be loved, but rather created out of the outflowing of his perfect love that has always existed between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who live in perfect and mutual relationship and delight. That's what has to transform. That's what overcomes postmodernity. That's what overcomes Islam. We have nothing to fear of these. They are hitting up against solid brick walls of moral truth. So now when you watch that little snippet on Facebook with St. Patrick explaining to the country bumpkins what the Trinity is, as they go through, as St. Patrick goes through his different bad analogies, you'll be able to sit there and laugh and say, I get it. I understand. And you'll love the way he finally ends up explaining the Trinity to these two country fools who teach him a lesson or two in what it means to speak the truth in love and kindness. Amen.